You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
It's Friday morning in Chicago, and this is Graziano Marcheschi welcoming you to Catholic Community of Faith. We're at the end of the month, and Cardinal George has just left for Rome, where the Universal Church will be celebrating the beatification of the late Pope John Paul II. So it's a great moment in the life of the Church. Lots of things happening here in Chicago. And of course, we want to keep those situations in prayer and ask for God's mercy and God's grace to help all involved to do the right things and just follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. It's the octave of Easter. You know, we approach Easter through 40 days of fasting, but we come out of Easter with 50 days of feasting. So Easter isn't over. And it's very appropriate whenever you see someone during these 50 days to wish them a happy Easter, because Easter isn't a day, it's an experience that we all share in. Christ is risen, and he's risen in us, and we share in that resurrection. Some of you probably got up early in the morning and watched the royal wedding. I didn't, but I did see the bridal couple on the balcony exchanging their first kiss. Apparently in the Anglican Church, they don't kiss during the wedding ceremony in the church, so they came out on the balcony and did it. The bride was absolutely gorgeous, kind of understated veil and tiara, but she looked great. And lots of things going on. The weather has been absolutely unusual and absolutely bizarre, and terrible things happen in the south of this country, and many people lost their lives because of the tornadoes. So we certainly want to keep them in our prayers. On this Friday, we're going to bring you two segments, and the first one is about some exciting things happening at Holy Name Cathedral. So in our first segment this morning, we're going to hear about vibrant spiritual and service events happening at the cathedral with two members of Holy Name's Young Adult Board. You will want to stay tuned for the second half of the show, when we will provide an important and interesting connection with the big wedding across the pond that will be celebrated throughout this day. Our guests for this first portion by phone are Eleanor Strong and Boldy Lasu. Good morning.
Morning. Good morning.
Did I say your name correctly, Boldy?
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't want to be fine. I want to be right. How do you say your name?
Boldy is fine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but Boldy is good. My full name is Boldizar, whatever you like.
Boldizar. Oh, very good. So we have a strong and a bold guest this morning. Tell us about some of the things that, first of all, tell me about how you got involved at Holy Name Cathedral. How about you, Eleanor? Why don't you start us off?
Go ahead, Eleanor.
Well, I got involved about 2 years ago, really through a friend who was already involved. She asked me to join them because, she and I had been talking about some ideas for new initiatives, particularly a book club, and she kind of hooked me in to help plan that. And then from there, I got more and more involved in planning things.
And Boldizar, what about you?
I've been going to Holy Name for a while, and at some point about 6-7 years ago, I started to look in the bulletin and learn about more events that Holy Name does, and I started volunteering with various, going to the food depository and helping out with Theology on Tap and things like that. And then after a while, helping with Theology on Tap, I was asked if I wanted to be on the Young Adult Board to help organize events and things of that nature, and I accepted, and I've been doing it for the last 5 years.
Now, I understand, Boldy, that you're activities at the cathedral are more focused at the social justice end, the service end of things. How did you come to be involved in reaching out to people through those kinds of activities?
Well, service, I'm mostly focused around, service events, like you said. And it's just something that I think in my nature and in things that I've been doing in my life, it's something that I've been pretty passionate about, just to try to help others as much as possible, as much as I can. And, this was a great chance to do that through our cathedral. So that's why I kind of...
Did you have any kind of experience with that when you were younger? I know a lot of high schools have service projects that are required. Sometimes when kids get ready for confirmation, they're required to do a certain number of hours of service. Is any of that in your background, or did this just come out of whole cloth?
Actually, yes. No, there is some of that in my background. Growing up, I volunteered through church, and I was also in the Boy Scouts of America. So there was a lot of projects going on all the time. Different people
had, that's right, services.
Had ego projects going on where you had to go out and make a big change somewhere or paint something or fix up a forest and things like that. So yeah. It's something I've been doing since I was little and just kind of transitioned to doing that more through the church than through other groups.
Boy Scouts are all about service, aren't they?
Yep. Yeah, they are.
And what schools did you attend?
Well, my background's actually relatively diverse. For high school, I used to live in Los Angeles for a little while, and then spent a year in Chicago at Lincoln Park High School.
Then you decided to move to warmer climate?
Then I lived in Hungary for 2 years. So kind of all over, and then for college I was in Chicago. I went to a school called IIT. I'm sure you've heard about it.
So, yeah. Eleanor, you're involved more at the spiritual end of things. Tell us about some of the kinds of activities that you help organize at the cathedral.
Well, we have a wide variety of things that we have sponsored. As I mentioned, I first got involved in planning this book club, and we're just wrapping up our second year of the book club, and actually last night we started planning for the third year. So that's been exciting. We've tried to pick a variety of books.
What are you reading?
Actually, just last night was our April meeting, and we read a book called Jesus, the Apostles, and the Early Church, which is actually a transcription of a series of audiences by Pope Benedict XVI about sort of the roots of the church and the beginnings and some details about the apostles. So that was really neat to have the opportunity to read that, and we've tried to pick...
Wait. That's pretty heavy-duty reading there.
Yes.
But can I ask you, I'm sorry, this is a horrible question, but since you're not here in the studio, how old are you?
I'm 27.
27, all right. Mm-hmm. So I just heard a 27-year-old say it was really neat to read these transcriptions of the audiences of Pope Benedict.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that you and the other people in your group would consider something like that neat? I don't think that would be expected.
Well, I know it's kind of unusual given the world that we live in, but it was really a fascinating discussion that we had because, you hear bits and pieces and snippets of the Gospels at Mass, and you hear different names mention John and James and a different James and, Simon and a different Simon, and all kind of, you don't really get their significance just from those snippets. But then when the Pope goes through and explains and draws connections, this is the same person you hear about in this other gospel, and he's also mentioned in Acts, and here's his significance, and here's the takeaway that you can have for your life. That was really neat, and I don't know, it was a great discussion and lots of things I had never thought about before, so it really increases our faith, I think.
That's wonderful. About how many folks gather for these book reading sessions?
Well, we've had anywhere from like 6 or 7 people all the way up to 15 or 16 for every meeting. So
wonderful. Well, we're going to talk more with Eleanor and Boldy after this short break, so please stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Bank of America Chicago Marathon, taking place on Sunday, October 9th, is sold out, but Team Catholic Charities has post-close entries. By joining Team Catholic Charities, you'll be running to help our neighbors in need of food, clothing, and shelter, necessities for everyday survival. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon. We'll see you at the finish line.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marteschi, flying solo here today. Father Greg and Wayne are off. I don't think they're on their way to Rome, but I'm sure they're having some fun. You're certainly welcome to join in the conversation. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 255-8408. We'd love to hear from you. Any comment, any observation that you might have. It's good to be able to get this conversation going. And we're certainly grateful to Relevant Radio for the opportunity to get out the good news of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago every morning from 9 to 10. So we're talking with Eleanor Strong and with Boldizar Lasu, both of Holy Name Cathedral, both young adults involved in young adult activities. You know, Eleanor and Boldy, young adults are a frequent topic of conversation within the church because everyone realizes that they're a critical demographic. The world certainly realizes you're the people that all the advertisers try to pitch to, I guess because they figure you've got disposable income, and if you start buying something now, you might do it for your whole lifetime. And in fact, that is pretty much true in terms of church too. The research shows that if young adults are involved in church, they will remain involved throughout their lifetime. But if young adults drop away, then there's a good chance they won't come back. So you are, in fact, a very, very critical age group. And I, for one, am extremely grateful that both of you are involved in your parish, helping to get other young adults involved. Boldy, in terms of the service projects that you do, is it difficult? Is that a hard pitch to get other young adults to give of their time and put themselves at the service of other people?
Well, you know what? I think a lot of young adults, they do look for those opportunities. And in fact, we've been seeing the opposite most times. when we advertise something pretty well, young adults are excited at the chance to come out and to do some kind of service together with other young adults who kind of think the same way. And it's also a great place to meet other young adults who also want to help out.
Yeah. So you get a social component at the same time that you're really doing a lot of good for people.
Yeah, that's exactly correct, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I think you mentioned food pantry earlier. What other kinds of service things have you been directly involved in, say, in the past year?
There's several. One which kind of sort of related, similar to the food pantry one, is at Catholic Charities. Holy Name actually sponsors meals at Catholic Charities, I believe, every Thursday and Friday. And the young adult group at Holy Name, we're in charge of one of those. For every second Friday of the month, we are the ones that are in charge of getting volunteers who go to Catholic Charities, and we kind of help set up the dinner, and we serve the dinner. So that's one example. We also organize a clothing drive every year for Holy Name, the annual Holy Name clothing drive, where, again, young adult volunteers collect clothes from parishioners after every Mass. That's actually coming up this weekend. And there's a few more examples of other programs we do, like service days to go to Catholic school and paint and clean up. We do caroling for senior citizens around Christmas time, and we do some tutoring programs for kids in Catholic schools.
Now, I'm assuming, and this is probably correct, but I don't really know for sure, when we're talking about young adult groups, are people always single, or do you get some married young adults as well?
Not necessarily single. I'd say a majority of them do turn out to be single. However, we always kind of stress that young adult ministry is for those in their 20s and 30s, single and married. So I do have some friends who are married couples who are involved with the young adult group. Now, I think by nature of the group and by nature of the social component that you mentioned earlier, a lot of times it does tend to be more the single young adults who come out and join us for our events.
Yeah, great. Can I ask what kind of work you do? You don't have, don't tell us your company, but what line of work are you in?
Yeah, I'm an engineer.
Engineer, excellent. I have a single daughter. I think she, engineer sounds good, stable, reliable income. She's an actress, and she doesn't make any money. All right. if she heard me, she would shoot me. Yeah. Eleanor, what kind of work are you in?
I work for a nonprofit social service agency in marketing, fundraising, and communications.
Excellent.
So, mm-hmm.
So, talented young professionals, very much involved in the life of the church, and not just in the life of the church, but in the life of the community. I'm just feeling better and better every minute talking to you. I understand that your group will be looking at the history of the church. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that is what is known as the EPIC series.
Uh-huh.
And it's a good example of the type of thing that we try to do to help young adults learn more about their faith. We've done a number of speaker series where we bring people to the cathedral to talk about different topics, and we've done movies and DVD series, and that is what this is. It's a 20-week DVD series, so the duration of it is epic.
Wow.
As well. But what we're doing is we're meeting twice a month. We began in January, and it'll go through November of this year. And it's a 20-week lecture series. So somebody actually developed this, kind of distilling our 2,000-year history into 20 different short segments. And we get together and we watch the DVD, and then we have time for discussion. And there's a workbook that goes along with it with discussion questions and reflection questions built in. So that's basically the format.
And will someone serve as moderator, or is that something you do? How does that work?
Well, we have over 100 people registered for this. Not all are young adults. This is something that's open to everybody.
Yeah.
But the discussion groups are small groups, so we have about 10 of us within the larger group who serve as moderators for the discussion in each small group.
Sounds exciting. Well, we're going to continue our conversation with these two young adults and talk about their commitment to their faith and their parish when we return after these brief messages. Please don't go away. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll talk with Cardinal Francis George about the beatification of Pope John Paul II. We'll take you on a pilgrimage to Quincy, Illinois, a river town that played a major role in the life of Father Augustus Tolton. And we'll give you a snapshot of the strategic pastoral plan for the Archdiocese of Chicago.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, Friday morning in Chicago. Grateful that you've chosen to spend this part of your day with us here on Catholic Radio, talking with some young adults from Holy Name Cathedral about the activities that they're involved in and about their faith. Eleanor Strong, Boldy, Lasu, two professional young people. If you want to meet them, go to Holy Name Cathedral events. You want us to, we could start a dating service here maybe, you know, like once a month. We could get some different young adults from Holy Name to come over. Of course, I'm not sure radio is the best format for doing that. Huh? Okay, that was a joke. You guys can laugh about that. There you go.
Probably not.
Probably not.
I mean, radio is not the best format.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Tell me, you folks have been involved in this work for a while. What is the most challenging thing that you see that young adults face? You know, as a young person going through life, being involved, you know, as we said, in your professional work and trying to live your faith at the same time, what are some of the challenges that you face? Don't both speak at once.
Well, it's hard to... It's sometimes hard for people who aren't part of our faith to understand some of the things that we find important. I mean, just our spirituality and witnessing to our moral beliefs. Like, for instance, when it comes to pro-life work, that's something I've done quite a bit of over the past couple of years. And it's just people who come from a more secular mindset don't even really understand why we find that important. And it's a challenge because you want to reach out to them and you want to love them, but sometimes they just have no idea where you're coming from.
So is it hard for you, Eleanor, to talk about some of the things you're involved with, say, your work colleagues?
Some of them. I mean, I would say that they don't necessarily find church that controversial, just the idea of belonging to a church, but some of the things that are more controversial, like, you know, the pro-life stuff, that's more difficult to talk about, for sure. Yeah.
Boldy, tell us, in terms of your own faith, you know, when you're doing social justice work, you need something to sustain that because the world isn't real fair, and it might be easy to get discouraged about some of the things you see. So what strengthens your faith? What motivates you? What helps you to realize that other people are not just someone you can ignore, but actually part of your responsibility as a human being and as a Christian?
Right. Well, I think, you know, in many ways, we all try to follow God and to, you know, to be like Jesus as much as we can. And many times you kind of have to ask yourself, you know, what I'm doing, is it, I mean, it sounds cliche, but, you know, is it something Jesus would do type of thing?
Absolutely.
And, yeah, and you kind of, you know, you definitely use that to keep you going and to help with all the activities that we do.
You know, the Archdiocese is about to embark on the first of its strategic years for the strategic plan that we've initiated. And this very first year is going to be focused on teens and early young adults. If you were part of the team designing that strategic plan, what would you want to make sure that the Archdiocese was paying attention to in terms of the needs of young adults? Either one of you.
One thing I would say is to really reach out to young adults at the college, the collegiate level, at the various college ministries. You know, a lot of the demographics, a lot of the young adults that come into the Holy Name groups, they came from previous involvement in college. And I think that's, you know, we need to kind of target the group. So before someone becomes a young professional, to make sure that they kind of stay involved, because a lot of times there's that gap between high school and confirmation and those things up until you start working and you start looking for a church again. And a lot of people, I think, during college...
Tour rooms of antique mechanical curios...
Sorry about that, folks.
No problem.
Eleanor, how about you? If you had the ear of the Cardinal, what might you say to him in terms of how the diocese could better address the needs of young adults?
Well, I would say that one thing that is extremely beneficial is to help young adults see the value of the sacraments. You know, many have rarely or even never been to confession or know the value of adoration, you know, things like that. We started a sort of an evening of sacraments through the cathedral the second Wednesday of every month, and it's so great because many young adults have never even been to adoration, and the sacraments are the heart of our faith. So I would say anything that he can do to emphasize that and show the beauty of that to young adults would be very beneficial.
Yeah. Now, you're clearly a very faith-filled young woman, Eleanor. What are the seeds of your faith? Where have you always been involved with the faith back in high school, or is this something that came to life in you a little bit later?
Well, I'm a cradle Catholic, and I have had the benefit of a very strong Catholic family and Catholic school as well. I didn't go to Catholic school my entire life, but through junior high and high school. And
what high school did you attend?
I would say the family is very strong.
What high school did you attend, Eleanor?
I went to Rosary High School in Aurora.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, yeah.
And so those early seeds are sound like they've taken deep root. I bet your family would be really edified and proud to hear you talk this way.
They may be listening right now, actually.
That's wonderful. Well, congratulations to your mom and dad and all of your family. And you see, it works when you really try. Sometimes the seeds do take root, and now you'll be able to pass it on to the next generation. That's just wonderful. Mm-hmm. Listen, I want to thank you both, Eleanor Strong, Boldy Lasu of Holy Name Cathedral. Is there a phone number or website that you want to give the listeners in case they want to become more involved with young adult ministry at the cathedral?
Well, I would say you can send an email, youngadults@holynamecathedral.org.
Youngadults@holynamecathedral.org.
Yeah, and also the holynamecathedral.org website is a great resource.
Holynamecathedral.org website. All right. Well, thank you much. Have a wonderful weekend, and God bless you and all the good things that you're doing. Stay with us.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. When we return, we're going to be talking with Father Tom Bema, who is going to tell us a little bit about the faith of the new bridal couple way there across the pond. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Tour rooms of antique mechanical curiosities from Victrolas to steam engines at the magical San Filippo Estate Saturday, May 21st at Catholic Charities Hearts for Homeless Families fundraiser. The dazzling event benefits programs that help the homeless in Northwest Cook County. The ticket price of $175 per person includes an extensive tour, elegant dinner, and lively auction emceed by radio personality Gary Meyer. For more information, visit catholiccharities.net/hearts or call 847-376-2118.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father Pope Benedict the 16th.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, and it's a pleasure to spend this time with you, and I'm very grateful that you've chosen to spend this part of your morning with Catholic Radio. We've been talking about how the royal wedding took place earlier this morning in England, and that event highlighted, however briefly, the religion of the new royal couple, which is the Anglican faith. We welcome now to the program Father Thomas Bema, a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago and provost of the University of St. Mary of the Lake Mundelein Seminary and professor in the Department of Systematic Theology. Father Bema holds a doctorate in sacred theology from the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas in Rome. His ecumenical credentials are many. He's the former director of the Archdiocesan Office for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs, former president of the Illinois Conference of Churches, Council of Religious Leaders of Metropolitan Chicago and O'Hare Interfaith Chapel Corporation and Trustee Emeritus of the Council for a Parliament of the World Religions. He's authored a number of books and contributed to a source book of the world religions. Currently, he's a member of the National Association of Diocesan Ecumenical Officers and North American Academy of Ecumenists. Welcome, Father Bema.
It's amazing, after hearing all of that, that I have time to sleep. Good morning, Graziano. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Well, let me add one thing to that long biography, though. I also took two summer courses at Oxford University, so I got to examine the English Christianity kind of close up.
Right up close. Well, this is fascinating. So the bridal couple is not only Anglican by history, also by decree. Is it so that no member of the royal family or no one can ascend the throne of England if they are either not Anglican themselves or if they're married to someone who is an Anglican?
Okay, well, now to understand where that comes from, that's true. There are still some restrictions on Catholics in England. That doesn't make a lot of sense to us on this side of the pond, because most of us don't know very much about English history, but I think we can relate to it in our own American history. It really goes back to a civil war. And you know how feelings are in the United States, even today, of there's still some remnants of feelings about the American Civil War, or if you're in the South, the War of Northern Aggression, which gets you at some of the heart of the tension. But England had its own civil war back in 1642, and it was a civil war that had religious overtones. And the basic struggle that was there was between a very strong form of Protestantism, whom we know as the Puritans, and then the more moderate elements of religion in England, such as the established Church of England at that time. And it ended with the Puritans winning and the king at that point, Charles II, being executed at the end of the Civil War. And it's only, that was around 1649, and it was only in 1660 that the monarchy was restored. So in English history, there have been these religious tensions. And throughout all of that, that led to a number of restrictions. It was only in, let me see if I figured you'd ask me this, so I actually looked it up. It was only in 1778, so 2 years after the American Revolution, it was only in 1778 that Catholics were allowed once again to own property. Prior to that, you know, from the Reformation forward, Catholics could not own property, they could not inherit land, and they couldn't serve in the military. Few years later, 1782, Catholics who did own property were then given the right to vote. And more importantly, they were given, for the first time, access to middle-class professions. So this is all kind of wrapped up in English history, of which religion is inseparable.
Yeah, and I think the history is very helpful. I think the analogy to the struggle between the North and South here in America is also very helpful. But we haven't enshrined that in law, you know, and said that, you know, a son of the Confederacy can't ever become president or anything of that nature. So it does seem to offend modern sensibility that a British monarch is forbidden to become or marry a Roman Catholic. It surprises me that just has not made any of the commentaries in the news.
Well, let's take a step back, though, and look at some of the royal titles. Because when you talk about the sovereign of Great Britain, Northern Ireland, and the Commonwealth, remember one of the titles is head of the Church of England.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it'd be very difficult to have the head of a church not belong to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe they ought to get rid of that title. But that's not for us to decide.
No, it isn't.
Although I do understand that there's been talk, even in England, about rescinding the Act of Settlement of 1701 that enshrined in law this requirement that even the spouse of a monarch cannot be a Roman Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like in this day and age, that might not be a bad idea. We're going to continue our conversation with Father Bema after these short messages, so please don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Cardinal George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. Graziano Marcheschi with you on this Friday morning. Thank you for being with us. In the first segment of our program, we talked with a couple of young adults from Holy Name Cathedral, and they would like you to know that on May 21st, Saturday, May 21st, between the 5:15 and 7:30 p.m. Masses, author George Weigel, a very well-known Catholic author, will be at Holy Name discussing his new book, on Pope John Paul II, and the public is invited to this event. As you know, Pope John Paul II is going to be beatified this Sunday, so if you want to know more about this holy pontiff, keep this event in mind. Saturday, May 21st at Holy Name Cathedral between the 5:15 and 7:30 p.m. Masses. We're talking with Father Tom Bema of the University of St. Mary of the Lake about the Church of England. Tom, tell us, how did the church come about, and what's its historical connection to the Roman Catholic Church?
Well, Christianity came to England during the Roman period. People forget that a part of the island of Britain was a Roman province all the way back to the 3rd century. Actually, a name most people would know, Constantine, was in England for a while in the military. Christianity came to the Isle of Britain first from Ireland. Irish Christianity, they'd been missionized by missionaries from Spain because of the way the trade winds and the currents made it easy to go from the northwest corner of Spain up to the Isle of Ireland. And then missionaries came across at the thin part at the bottom between Ireland and Scotland, and then across the north part of what is today England. So that was the first missionary effort from Celtic monks going across the north. But then Roman Christianity came in from the continent across the channel, especially with the famous missionary efforts of St. Augustine of Canterbury, who became Archbishop of Canterbury in 598. So the Christianity in England has these two inheritances, one Celtic Christianity from Ireland, the other Roman Christianity from the continent, basically from Gaul. The two existed kind of side by side with their own traditions, really until 664, when they had to settle a controversy because they celebrated Easter on different dates. This is a controversy that just keeps going on in Christianity, although this year everybody had Easter on the same day.
Yay.
Won't see that for a while. But at any rate, there was the Synod of Whitby in 664, where the bishops and church leaders decided that they would follow the Roman practice. And they did that really out of deference to the authority of the Pope and the fact that the Church of Rome had been founded by two apostles, Peter and Paul. So it's the very much a Roman argument that way. There was always Roman and royal tension throughout history. We all know the story of Thomas Becket, you know, who was Archbishop of Canterbury in 1170 when he was martyred. And so there was always some tension between the church and the crown as who would kind of be in first place, and always tension over foreign control of English property, because lots of church properties were owned by Italian clerics.
And, sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah, it would. But that became a significant tension leading up to the Reformation. The Reformation in England is its kind of own thing, and there's a pre-Reformation that starts with John Wycliffe, who preached in Cambridge in the the mid-1300s, 1350, 1384, in there, trying to bring about a revival of Christianity in England, but starting to preach the ideas that would eventually be known as Protestant Christianity. The Church of England, as we know it today, as essentially a Protestant church, begins 1534 when Henry issues the Act of Supremacy, because that's the first time in which he refers to it as the Anglican Church, as its official title, and he claims headship over the church in place of the Pope. Things swing back and forth because Henry dies and Mary eventually comes to the throne and turns England Catholic again. She doesn't live very long, and then in 1558, Elizabeth comes to the throne. And so some scholars would really say that what today we know as Anglican Christianity takes its kind of definitive form under Elizabeth. The 39 Articles of Religion are written, which essentially stake out a broad Protestant approach to doctrine. The Book of Common Prayer is issued, which becomes this great monument of the English Christian tradition. And then things move forward from there.
Now, Elizabeth was the daughter of Henry, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So why does Anglicanism look so much like Catholicism?
It's because the Reformation in England took this kind of moderate middle approach. There were two kind of points of tension at the time of Elizabeth. Her half-sister Mary, who had been queen right before her, had swung the country back to a very strong, Catholic position. She was a Catholic, and she imposed Catholicism as the state religion. Elizabeth, like her father Henry, was deeply suspicious of the kind of Protestantism that had developed in Holland, which was very radical, the Anabaptists, and very, very staunch kind of low church Protestant. He was suspicious of that. And so Elizabeth tried to chart a course between the kind of pro-Catholic sentiment that Mary's supporters had and another group, which becomes what we know as the Puritans, who were kind of fundamentalists of the day. No compromise, not on any point, you know, who had saw even Luther and Calvin as halfway reformers that didn't go far enough, and they wanted to go, you know, much, much further. Elizabeth didn't want either of those things. She didn't want Roman Catholicism, and she didn't want continental Protestantism. So in setting up, in kind of organizing the Church of England under herself, she picked this kind of middle road, broadly Protestant, but retaining a Catholic ethos of ceremony and, you know, style, trying to appeal to both sides. It's interesting, the only thing that she didn't allow broad freedom in was liturgy. There really was a liturgical police under Elizabeth. Everyone's going to use the Book of Common Prayer. You're going to say what's in it and only what's in it. So that was kind of how she got the settlement working there.
Great. Well, in our final segment, I'd like to talk about the relationship between the Anglican and Catholic Church and some of the things that we can and can't do when we visit each other's churches. So don't go away. We're going to continue our conversation after these few messages. Thanks for staying with us.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
AM in Chicago. I'm Graziano Marcheschi. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Irrelevant Radio AM 950. You know, sometimes people complain about all the preoccupation with technology, but some things are really good. I've got this great Bible app on my smartphone that gives me a scripture every day. Here's today's scripture from 1 Peter 5:10. "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Amen. Words to live by. Father Bema, tell us about the current state of the relationship between the Roman Catholic Church and the Church of England. Are we drawing closer together, or are we moving further apart?
Well, that's a very complicated question. So first of all, just some definitions. First, the Church of England is only the only refers to England itself, the national church that is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's also part, though, in the mother church of the Anglican Communion, which is some 80 million Christians throughout the world. And so the Catholic Church has its basic ecumenical relations with the World Anglican Communion, not directly per se with the national church in England. So the World Communion is the partner, if I could say it that way, with the Catholic Church in the ecumenical dialogues. Now, the Anglican Roman Catholic dialogue has been in many ways one of the most successful, but also the most challenging of all the dialogues. Back at the time of the Vatican Council, when the Catholic Church entered the ecumenical movement, which had already been running since 1910, and which the Anglican Communion had been a very important part in starting, when we come in 60, you know, the early 60s, there was really a sense that the Catholic and Anglican relationship was going to be the flagship, and it was just everything was going to go really quite well.
Yeah.
That was based in part on the fact that what most Catholics knew about Anglicans was actually what they knew about a wing of the Anglican Communion called the Oxford Movement, which Cardinal John Henry Newman had been part of.
Yes.
A very pro-Catholic, very high church wing. The fact is, the most of world Anglicanism is really much more a Protestant movement. They call it the evangelical wing or the low church. But if you look at those 80 million Christians throughout the world, although they wear Catholic vestments, although they, you know, follow the ceremonial that's very, very similar to ours, both in their doctrine and their piety, it is much more the Reformed side of the Anglican tradition. Anglican tradition understands itself to be both Catholic and Reformed, but when you get down to it, the doctrine really is a kind of classic, moderate Protestant approach. So I think early on we had a lot of enthusiasm because we were used to dealing with Anglicans who were very much of the kind of Catholic party. But as the relationship develops, and in any relationship as it develops, you get to know each other, you know, much better and for who you really are. It really became clear that we were dealing with a more Protestant tradition.
Yeah. Are the biggest problems around the ordination of women priests and bishops and the ordination of openly gay clergy?
I think those are symptoms of the deeper problem, which is that the Anglican Church, in its doctrine and in its faith, is very much a Protestant group. We assumed a closer relationship than actually the reality supported. Those are symptoms of the deeper thing of what the Church of England and the Anglican Communion actually hold as binding doctrines.
Yeah. Now, the ceremonies and sacraments of the Anglican Church look an awful lot like ours. Are they interchangeable?
No. Yes, they look a lot like ours. No, they are not interchangeable. So again, if we go back to that basic principle that basically the Anglican Church, by its own understanding, holds the doctrines of the Reformation, then we would relate to them really the way we do any of the other Protestant churches, even though their ceremonial is very, very much like ours. So what that would mean is we can't have intercommunion with them, because we don't share a unity in the faith, in the sacraments, and in the ecclesiastical order of the church. We are not.
I'm going to have to cut you off there, and thank you, Tom, for spending this time with us and giving us this very, very helpful perspective on the Church of England. We want to thank our producer, Diane Dunnigan, and our engineer, Brian Brock. And most of all, we thank you, our listeners, for spending your time. Please keep Catholic communications in your prayers and the Archdiocese, and pray with the Church as we beatify Pope John Paul II this Sunday. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend.